Get ready for the greatest roast of all time. The Roast of Tom Brady. A Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart. The seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for The Roast of Tom Brady. Live only on Netflix.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
What are you doing later?
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
Okay.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
And basketball analysis with over 70 years combined experience. This is the Bob Ryan and Jeff Goodman podcast.
NBA, some college, a little bit of everything.
You know, what can I say? But it wasn't going to happen here with him. I was okay with it because it wasn't about talent, I didn't think.
All right, let's get right to it.
Well, it is that time again for the Bob Ryan, Jeff Goodman, Tangway along for the ride, Zoom and Pod. And we are sponsored by FanDuel, the exclusive wagering partner of the CLNS Media Network. Score this NFL season with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 bet. That's $150 if your team wins. Bob, we've talked about offense. You love it. The ghost of Tommy Heinsohn is smiling. The Pacers put up 157 points. They let up 152, but the Pacers are just unbelievable this year. And you wouldn't think it would come from them.
No, you wouldn't. You wouldn't. It's not in Rick Carlisle's coaching profile. But they are playing fast this year. There was a very good piece, I must say, in The Athletic Monday about them and specifically about Tyrese Halliburton and the effect that he's had on them. And he's having an extraordinary run. Halliburton, in his last two games, has had 37 points, 16 assists, 5 rebounds, and B, 37 points, 15 assists, excuse me, and 5 rebounds, and B, 37 points, 16 assists, and 5 rebounds. And wow, you know, that's a lot of point production for a person. He's a guy that most people really haven't paid attention to. He made his first All-Star team last year. They're going to have to start paying attention to him now because he's elevating himself into the upper echelon of NBA guards with this kind of play. But he's the catalyst, and they're running up and down the floor. It's so funny because we talked about yesterday, and I was marveling about the uptick in offense, and then that last night to see that happen, 157 to 152 without overtime, no extra push. The first thing I looked up, though, Garrett, And this is with the question that's always going to be asked in the scoring of, in 2023. And how they do on threes? The two teams combined 37 for 76 on threes, almost 50%. Right. And that doesn't tell you the entire story, but it's part of the story.
Well, it is. And I think that it's a little bit of an asterisk. I mean, you have to, it's a different era. I mean, it's the juice ball era. Let's face it. You know, I mean, it is. I mean, yeah. You know, and guys of all shapes and sizes are shooting them, you know.
Oh, that's right. No question about that. But still, I'm sure that there are lots of basketball purists out there and NBA people that are going, wait a minute, you know, this doesn't make it look very good. We're trying to preach defense in some way and you need stops. And obviously nobody was getting many stops last night. I wish I had seen that game just to see exactly how that thing unfolded. But I was kind of monitoring it, with the phone last night. It's always something. But we're in, I will repeat what we said when we last met, a major offensive era. Just so happened that Indiana is leading the league in scoring. They were leading the league in scoring with 120 some odd points a game. And now they tacked on to 157. So, they're the most logical team to have done this, and damn it if they didn't do it.
Well, I Googled the trade, Tyrese Halliburton to the Kings, back
yes,
February 8th, 2022, Sports Illustrated. and Sabonis involved in that deal to the Kings. Buddy Hield, also interested Thomas as well, go to Indiana along with Halliburton. It says, trade grades, Pacers steal Tyrese Halliburton from the Kings. But you view this as a good trade for both teams.
Well, I mean, Sabonis, maybe he's one of my favorite players. And you know, where Sacramento's having a good, you know, off to a good start in large measure because they have that, they have Sabonis. I would think they're happy. Maybe people are going, well, are we, I don't know that anybody expanded Tyrese Halliburton into what we're seeing right now. I agree. Plus, Buddy Hield is a good asset. I'd love to have him on my team. But frankly, and especially,
well, I don't think anybody looked at this as a earth-shattering deal at the time. I mean, you know, I just got a kick out of the headline. You know, at the time the deal was made, people thought that, you know, it was going to be a one-sided deal, and it hasn't turned out that way. But of course, nobody thought that he would have this type.
No, I never gave him two thoughts. You know, I knew he was a pretty good player. You know, I remember him at Iowa State and all that. And fine. But no, this is elite stuff. This is making a bid. I mean, if you're going to go all NBA right now on the first month of the season, you know, he's one of starting guard. He's got to be there. So yeah. no one foresaw anything like that. And good for him. But I will insist that this was a fair trade because of Sabonis. And look what Sacramento's doing. And they were a fun, dangerous team by the end of last season. And then they're a team, one of my teams I call the up and comers in the league this year. And they're clearly there. And Indiana's there too. Good for both of them. I'm happy. I would like to think that this is a trade where both GMs are going, you know, okay, this is the kind of fair trade that you always want. The both teams got what they want.
Well, I just think it's always good when there are new names in the mix. When you look and you see, okay, who's playing tonight? Oh, I'd like to watch him.
No kidding.
It's good for the league. Like, I would not have thought of, like, as I'm scrolling, so the Celtics aren't playing. Oh, Tyrese Halliburton's playing tonight. Okay, let me see if it's on TNT, or let me see if I can get it, you know.
Yeah.
It's good for business.
There's a lot of there's a lot of that going around the league with this year.
There is. Like, and John Moran, when he comes back, we're going to be watching him.
I mean, you know, even De'Aaron Fox out in Sacramento is a fun play. And, of course, Maxey, you know, who got another 30 last night, you know.
LaMelo Ball did it to the Celtics.
LaMelo Ball. And so they're out there. And Jalen Brunson is turning himself into a stellar player. So, and not to mention the young guys that, you know, the two big kids that, you know, are going to be the story all year, Wembanyama and Holmgren. So there's a lot going on in the league. I think if I'm Adam Silver, I'm feeling good about things in that regard.
Okay, so now in the in-season tournament, which you and I both have said doesn't really matter to us. We're not haters. If you like it, fine. If it works for you, fine. But I saw that the Lakers and the Pacers have won their group. So I'm curious, do you think that this tournament could have an impact on a team's real playoff run? In other words, they gel, they win the in-season tournament, they get a little bit of confidence, and they find themselves.
If it's an outlier, I mean, if it's going to be, if the team in question is Denver or even Boston, you know, I don't think that's going to have a appreciable effect on their psyche. But I think if the team in question is, for example, Indiana, you know, or somebody that wasn't supposedly in the elite, this is a whole lab experiment that Adam Silver has foisted on us. We don't know how anyone's going to react in that. You know, so let's wake up on the morning of December 10th and see what people are saying, because that's the day after when it's over in Las Vegas. We don't know how the coaches are going to react. We don't know how the players are. You know, ultimately, I think we can basically say that most people in the league who had to participate in it gave it a shrug. You know, it wasn't that they're playing these games. They're not looking at these games, I don't think, yet. Oh, it's an in-season game. It's just a game on the schedule we're going to have anyway. Just happened to be on a Tuesday and Friday, and they've designated the Tuesdays and Fridays are the in-season games in November. But we'll see. Maybe they'll get excited by it. Maybe.
Well, I think guys like to go to Vegas. I've said that before.
Well,
that's the thing. You know, I mean, is the carrot. If you find yourself in the hunt, right? And it's like, okay, guys, come on, let's go out and play ball tonight because we get a trip to Vegas. And if you're 25, 26, 27, and you're a millionaire, okay.
And there's money, and as I said,
the money. You mentioned
it's obviously affecting the, you know, players 9, 10, 11, and 12 on the roster, not so much 1 to 8. But, you know, I mean, obviously, LeBron is not playing for the money, except for tip money for something, but But a lot of they are playing to enrich their less fortunate teammates in terms of the money.
Yes, the less fortunate teammates. Yes.
Yeah. Sure. You know, yeah. And so, but there is money, and it's a point of pride, to, you know, the thing. In that regard, they look at this world, so many of them, keeping score by the money. And so, okay, fine. If that's an incentive that makes them play harder, fine.
Score early this NFL season with FanDuel, America's number one sports book. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 money bet. That's $150 if your team wins. If you've been thinking about joining FanDuel, there's no better time to get in on the action, NFL. The app is so easy to use. There's a wide range of betting options, including you got spreads, you got your player props, you got over-unders, and more. So visit FanDuel.com/Boston and kick off the NFL season. FanDuel, official partner of the NFL. 21 plus and present in Massachusetts. Hope is here. First online real money wager only. $5 pregame moneyline wager required. First online real money wager only. $10 first deposit required. Bonus issued as non-withdrawable bonus bets that expire 7 days after receipt. See terms at sportsbook.fanduel.com. Gambling helpline ma.org or call 800-327-5050 for 24/7 support. Play it smart from the start. GameSenseMA.com or call 1-800-GAM-1234.
I just never thought that it could be an avenue to gel. I mean, you get a team that comes together, they do a little mini road trip, they go to Vegas, maybe they find themselves, they get a little, you know, I mean, who knows? I mean, you're right. For the Celtics, for the Suns, for the Denver, I mean, Philly, it doesn't matter. But a team like Indy, who knows? Because I didn't think we'd be talking about the Pacers this year.
Me neither. But we'd be talking about them as the racehorse team out of the ABA days with Rick. You know, and I love Rick, but Rick's Rick's more orthodox, you know, traditional coach, and this is Doug Moe revisited. This is good. This
Doug
is
Doug Moe.
Is,
okay,
right now we're almost up to Paul Westhead.
Oh my, Bob, I love Doug Moe.
Oh,
This is story time. I remember yes. Doug Moe. For those people who don't know, Google him. Kids, Google this guy.
M-O-E.
Coach of the Denver Nuggets. And then he wore these leisure suits. He had these crazy shirts. And the shirt was always like half off. His hair was wild. I mean, he looked like he should have been running with Dan Tana on, you know, the show Vegas with Robert Urich. I loved Doug Moe. And then he goes to the Sixers. They put him in a suit, GQ. He's got his hair coiffed back. I'm like, what? No! What have you done to Doug Moe? Give me a Doug Moe story.
We're in Denver in 1987, the 86-87 season, and Kevin McHale is on a monstrous run. And we get into Denver, and Doug Moe would have his pregame session, and he would invariably tell you the truth. Unlike, you know... In other words, if he thought they were going to win and they were playing well, okay, look out, guys, we're ready. If he thought they were in a tailspin, he would tell you. So, in this particular, things weren't going so well for the Nuggets when we arrived. So Doug's pronouncement to the media before the game was, if I were you, I would take the Celtics, the points, and the extra points, unquote. Game starts. And Kevin McHale scores the first 13 points of the game and breaks Danny Shays' nose in the process with an elbow. And that's how that game started. And, of course, you know, the Celtics did, of course, win. And you would. So that was one Doug Moe. Another Doug Moe is it's the 1979 playoffs. And he's in San Antonio before he goes to Denver. And right. He's coaching the Spurs against the Washington Bullets then before they changed their nickname. And he said it was an off day and he had a short practice. He was noted that they didn't overburden themselves in practice with Doug Moe because Doug had other priorities too. And he said, my biggest problem right now is that my golf course doesn't allow sixums on Thursdays. but Doug Moe was a proponent of offense, baby.
Oh, big time.
But out of defense. They were pressure. They pressured you. He wanted his backcourt to create steals and turnovers. And when they did, boom, they were off the other way. But he was a major proponent of offense. Well,
he coached Issel and Thompson, right?
Yes. Oh, he had and Alex English. I mean, he had some wonderful offensive teams. And he was one of the most refreshing people in the history of the league. You know, you're right. You're so right. The ultimate media friend was Doug Moe, because you know, you walked in and your notebook was going to get full.
It was great. I mean, he was just great for the league. I remember.
Also, he's one of the, he's a Carolina guy. And right. They are all there. That's an incredible fraternity of people that all with St. Dean,
was,
you know.
Was he connected with Larry Brown?
Yeah. Yeah. Oh, yeah. And they all worship Dean Smith. Right. Only one of them, however, referred to Dean as Uncle Dino, though. Guess who that was?
Yeah, Doug Moe. He's great. I mean, there were some.
But the rest of them, it was Coach Smith.
Yeah.
With Doug Moe, it was Uncle Dino.
Great. Yeah. One of the all time great characters in the NBA.
Absolutely.
He was great.
Still with us, thank God. And, you know, that's good.
Let's evaluate Porzingis. Let's give him where are you at with him at this point in the season?
I'm very gratified and pleasantly surprised. I was harsh when they made the deal. I had a vision of him from his New York days, let alone, you know, Dallas, and wondered why Dallas let him go. And I didn't even see him play last year, because who watches the Wizards? I mean, that in all sincerity, that's not just a throwaway line. Who watches the Wizards, right?
Well, nobody did. I mean, no.
I mean, you know, they're on TV. You know, you're looking for a movie, right? So last year, I knew it. And so now the deal's made. Okay, wait a minute. Wow, he did score 23.9 points a game when I wasn't looking. And so, okay. Then I find out that, you know, and I had that vision of him just being a 7'3" jump shooter and nothing else. And I believe I'd said, the guy's 7'3" going on 5'3". You know, I'm not too enthused.
You did.
All right, I did. Well, then I find out that he did a lot of posting up last year when I wasn't watching the Wizards play to help him get those 23.9. And then I find out from a very good source that the problem for him, according to the source in Dallas, was that Rick Carlisle wanted him to stand out there and take a disproportionate number of jump shots, and he wanted to diversify his game. Well, that surprised me in both cases for both reasons. But okay, so all right, so now I'm a little bit more open-minded, you know, before we see him play. Now, and oh, the other thing I heard about him in my research, you know, quote unquote, was he's going to help you on defense more than you think. A, he is a rim protector, and B, he is more laterally mobile than you might realize. You know, he won't be a big liability on the pick and roll. So, you know, well, guess what? He's a good basketball player. I am watching a guy that combines a little of the old. He hadn't even really hit his stride to shooting threes yet, by the way. You know, he's not, I don't know what the percentage is, but my mind's eye tells me, you know, he's got his best 3-point shooting ahead of him this year. But he does the great roll to the basket thing. He is a good rim protector. Saved a game the other night, won a game by blocking a shot at the buzzer, a beautiful block. And he can pass a little bit. He's a good basketball player. And I'm happy to have him. And I think it was, you know, so I give him A- right now. I'll give him an A- so far.
Yeah. I mean, I was optimistic. I was just optimistic because I had seen that his numbers had gone up in Washington. And I know that this coach likes to shoot threes, but I've been even more impressed.
Yeah, he's a basketball player.
The thing that impresses me, Bob, about this team, the Celtics, is that, look, they went through some changes. Marcus Smart, he was a fan favorite. He had some friends on the team. Jaylen Brown got the big contract. We all know that the pressure is going to be on him. So you brought in, you know, Drew Holiday, and you brought in, Porzingis. So you brought in a new point guard and you brought in a new big man.
Yeah.
And they've gelled pretty well.
You know, they had a little, coming off a road trip in which they went 3-1 and the last two games, they were both winnable and they both were losable. and they won the one that was losable and they lost the one that was winnable, I guess. But anyway, they got three. People are going to overreact that it wasn't pretty at the end. It was disappointing.
Well, yeah, I mean,
I keep coming back to this. If Drew Holiday makes the two free throws, they win the game. Right. Puts them up by four. And they win the game. And, you know, that's not going to happen again. He's not going to walk up there and miss two free throws like that too often. Hey, Larry once did it. I never forget. Larry came out of the All-Star break one year, and they go to Sacramento, and he bricks two free throws, and they lose the game. So if Larry Bird can do it, folks, Jrue Holiday can do it, and anybody can do it. So I'm not worried about that. I'm not overreacting to what we saw. The components are here, as we know. The components
the chemistry, the chemistry looks pretty good pretty quick.
Yeah, well, it's, you know, and of course they didn't have White in that game. And once again, we can't, right. Everybody's missing people at times. And, you know, but they didn't have White, and it showed. And I hope he's back against the Bucks. And but if he's not, then they're going to have to make do, and that's that. But you should be happy. Celtic fans should be generally very pleased. And plus we're watching the coach too. You know, this is year two for the coach. The coach, he's learning. I mean, underrate the fact that Joe Mazzulla is a guy on the OJT in this second year, and he's still a young guy.
Hey there. Did you know Kroger always gives you savings and rewards on top of our lower than low prices? And when you download the Kroger app, you'll enjoy over $500 in savings every week with digital coupons. And don't forget fuel points to help you save up to $1 per gallon at the pump. Want to save even more? With a Boost membership, you'll get double fuel points and free delivery. So shop and save big at Kroger today. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Savings may vary by state. Restrictions apply. See site for details.
Let's talk about LeBron. And we haven't talked about him a whole lot because of the rise of the other stars in the league, and also the Lakers kind of where they're at. But LeBron reached 39,000 points. So he's going to break 40,000 is the feeling. Here's a guy that has played in 1,435 games in 21 seasons. Now, Michael, who we compare him to, and Celtics traditionalists like you and myself will also talk about Russell in the conversation as the greatest of all time. But Michael played in 400 less games, right? Mm-hmm. So when you talk about the points, you know, you really can't compare the two. But I will say this. I'm going to enter this into the discussion. When we have had the argument, who's the greatest player of all time, LeBron James or Michael Jordan, longevity's never entered into the discussion, at least with me.
Okay.
Now should it?
Well, see, there's multiple layers to the discussion. Anytime you get into GOAT in any, whatever it is, could be music, could be cooking, could be, you know, but in sports, let's stick to sports. You're going to have layers because not all positions are created equal. Not all careers are created equal. Everybody has certain personal preferences about what matters more to him or her in evaluating a player or a team, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. in basketball, you've got peak value, to throw in there, I think, as well as longevity. On sheer longevity, what LeBron is doing, there's two people that had remarkable. All right, let's start with it. Who's the greatest basketball player of all time if you go on the following criteria? The greatest career of achievement from high school through professional. There's only one answer.
It's Russell.
No. He was nobody in high school.
Oh, really?
Nobody. That's why he went up in a local school thanks to a recommendation from an alumnus.
Well, he got two NCAA.
I know that, but I'm talking about the whole career.
Okay, all right.
The greatest career, unarguably, is Lou Alcindor / Kareem Abdul-Jabbar. I should have gotten the numbers ready. Well, let me tell you this. He lost single-digit games in high school and college. All right? Think about that. Right. He lost single-digit games total in high school and college. And he was the reason, starting the sophomore year at Power Memorial High School in New York City. Okay. He wins three national championships. Nobody else has ever done that at UCLA. He goes and he wins six MVPs and I don't know how many make. All right. He's the great. His career is the greatest. All right. I'm thrown in high school now. The second greatest career thrown in high school. But now LeBron doesn't have a college career. So he's not. So saying if I want to have that discussion, LeBron can't even be in it. So that's all right. Put that on the side. Now we're talking. Let's get back to the NBA. The longevity thing. Kareem had a great amount of longevity as well. He played from 69-70 until 88-89. He had a long career. And that accounts for his final total. You got to give LeBron credit for being incredibly productive at this age and still as good as he is. He's kept himself in marvelous shape. I do not take that away from him. LeBron's going to have all these career numbers based on the longevity. Now it comes down to the skill range. And with LeBron versus Michael, bigger, stronger, better rebounder, better passer, you know, than Michael Jordan. Okay. I'm playing for my life tonight. No question. I want Michael Jordan.
I do too.
A better competitor. LeBron is a nicer person on the court. Yeah. I'm serious. And maybe off too. And I keep going back to the difference between the two. And I'm, this is my little patented thing. I want this on my gravestone. Okay. You know, a couple of things I want on my gravestone that he said, and this is one.
Write them down here.
The reason they each got to the top of the mountain, as they each have in their own eras, took Michael to learn how to share. Michael Jordan, in the 87-88 Michael Jordan, is not making those passes to Steve Kerr and Jim Paxson that later won John Paxson, that later won championships. He's hogging up the shot himself and maybe taking a bad one. He doesn't trust his teammates, you know. Okay. LeBron, and once he began to trust his teammates, the championships came. That's my theory. You know, you can argue against it. LeBron doesn't win until he finally accepts the responsibility of being the best player on the floor and acting accordingly. He flamed out against the Celtics in 2010. I initially rejected this notion, but I had to come to believe it, that in 2011 against the Mavericks, he basically didn't really want the ball the way he should have. And he shrunk in a moment. There was some catharsis after that. I don't know whether somebody got to him or he finally figured it out himself. That I since then, that's not an issue. He knows when to take over, how to take over. He's known that now over a decade, and the championships have come in various uniforms. So when he learned to be assertive and accept the responsibility of being the best player and acting accordingly, but in Michael's case, he believed he was the best player before, you know, all the time. But that doesn't mean that you still have four of the guys you have to account for. And if you go back and study LeBron, and I keep going back to that film, that documentary, When We Were Kings, that was made about him in high school at St. Vincent St. Mary, and traced them through their high school career. Everyone in the world knew he was the best player, and he knew he was the best player, but he was a team guy always. The great thing about he loved playing with them is these are kids that he played with from like fifth grade, that they won national state championships, two of them with him and his friends. He liked that camaraderie. He liked that. He was a team. It's always been about team. It's not about, and people don't give him enough credit for that, isn't it? Because some people, because of the decision, you know what the decision was 2010. For Christ's sake, get over the decision. It was stupid. He shouldn't have done it. He's made amends for it. Let's get over it, huh? What's he done bad that people should, there should even be any LeBron haters? I don't see it at all.
No, he's a wonderful LeBron fan.
He's a beautiful basketball player to watch play basketball. He knows how to play this game, and he plays it with his teammates, and I'm still glad he's around.
I do too. I think it's a debate that'll go on and on and on. I'm with you on the Jordan thing, because we know even now, in Michael's Hall of Fame speech, he was throwing daggers at guys. You know, I mean,
he was taking prisoners. He taking was, prisoners, and it was on. It was distasteful. You know, it was unbecoming. It was unbecoming. And you know what? I think I'm guessing that he's unrepentant about it.
Oh no, he makes.
I don't think he feels any need to apologize. He made himself feel good that night.
Yeah, no. I mean,
evening scores. But see, that speaks to what I was saying about the nature on the court.
Right.
You know, he was ruthless. You know, the famous Hannibal Lecter, eat your heart out, and they give you a glass of Chianti. You know, he's the ultimate in that. Then, and 1B, Bonnet, by the way, was Kobe. Kobe's the closest thing to Michael that we've known, and right. In terms of the whole package of size, range of skill, temperament. You know, he's the closest and real close. He's but I still give the edge to Michael, and that may be just bias. You know, I will listen to arguments on Kobe, because Kobe was you know, real good. But he didn't have the heart the team heart to the degree that Michael that LeBron has. That's for sure. And but anyway, it's and then the we're in Boston. Let's talk about the greatest winner of all time. We know it was William F. Russell. We know that. Yeah. And let me just state it out for a case on any youngin out there that needs to be, just to get a little schooling here. From 1955 until 1969, Bill Russell's teams competed for 16 separate championships, 2 NCAA, 1 gold medal in 1956 Olympics in Melbourne, and 13 NBA championships. His teams just happened to win 14 of those 16. I don't think there was a coincidence. Okay. Right. And the 15th, only diehard fans in St. Louis will not concede that if Russell hadn't been hurt in the 58 finals, they right. win that one too. It took 50 points by the great Bob Pettit in game 6 to win by 2 to beat Russell and knocked him out when Russell was hurt in 58. And then more power to Bob Pettit. But so Russell's achievements, and let me just say, skill level, if you put him in a game today, airlift him in with the exact same package, the same body and the same mind and the same spirit. He leads the league in shot blocks and rebounds today. And his last game was May 5th, 1969. I know people many people won't buy into that, but they didn't see him play. I'm telling you, he was an athlete so far ahead of his time. As he once said to me, I could kick the rim. Think about that one, folks.
And that's a great way to end. Bob, that's great stuff. And again, congratulations to LeBron. You know, he still loves to play the game. The only blemish on the resume is the decision, which was not his idea. It was not his idea. It was a blip on the radar. So what? There could be much worse things that we talk about. Yep. So I just hope, I just looked at that LeBron's going to score 40,000 points. And yep. He's close to 40 years old, and he's putting up 39 points in a game.
Now, the one part of the discussion we're talking about all-time cumulative points now, of course, is the 3. That's another argument.
Bob. This is what I'll say about that. It takes skill, though. That's not an easy shot.
No, you're right. Oh, we're old enough to remember when people got yelled at for even taking them, even when the rule was in. It's a shot that people encourage. But everybody's practicing. Every kid in America is out there shooting 3.
But still, it's not an easy shot to make.
No.
So, in my hero, John Havlicek, who I would, I had discussions with how he didn't like the 3, and the way Hondo played the game was exemplary. And I can understand why he didn't like the 3 because of the way he played the game, the motion and so forth.
And he had 3-point range, by the way.
Oh, there's no question.
And if in modern game, being played the way it is, we would be encouraged, to shoot more. And he would have, I can tell you the guys that had range and who didn't, he did. Jerry West didn't.
West didn't have 3? You don't think so?
No, he wasn't that kind of. He was a middle range shooter. Middle range. He wasn't. I'll tell you who the guy that I would love. He must be wake up every day and say, "Why was I born?" Well, he had good things happen, but why wasn't I born a little later? The best Jerry Lucas would have thrived in this. The Knicks had a very odd offense in that the two forwards, Lucas and DeBuscher, had better range than the two guards. Whether it was Frazier and Barnett or Frazier and Earl Monroe, all those three guards were all middle range shooters. They weren't distance shooters.
Right.
And the two forwards could shoot from downtown. And they did, to the degree that you would do it in those days, not the way you do now, but Lucas would have been a sensational 3-point shooter.
What about Charmin?
Total middle distance.
Oh, okay.
Ultimate 15, 17 foot, but that's the game. The whole point, Oscar Robertson, we used to say, if Oscar had a 15 footer, he wanted a 10 footer. If he had a 10 footer, he wanted a layup, and he worked the game in. Oscar didn't have 3-point range because
he didn't need it.
He wouldn't want it, but now he'd have to have it, and he'd have it because he's Oscar Robertson. He'd practice, he'd be good. But no, Oscar was totally, that wasn't his idea. The whole game was, get a layup. And right. That's what you wanted. The ultimate prize was getting a layup, not passing out for a 3. Anyway, it's a different game, we can lament all we want, but the 3 ain't going anywhere. So
no, it's not, and we still love the game, and we love the scoring. And I don't think we have a whole lot to complain about. Bob Ryan, happy holidays, my friend.
Always same to you.
Jeff Goodman will be joining us next week, and thank you to FanDuel. We're giving thanks. FanDuel is the exclusive wagering partner of the CLNS Media Networks. Score early this NFL season with FanDuel, America's number one sportsbook. Right now, new customers get $150 in bonus bets with any winning $5 moneyline bet. That's $150 if you win. Bob, see you next week.
Take care.